Dan Snyder works with Mission Preborn. He's involved with activities with Mission Preborn in Indianapolis and still Beverly Hills. You're still doing
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Los Angeles, okay. And has been on the, was involved here in town for a while and has been very involved in all of this. Well, Dan, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself?
Thanks. We have a word of prayer with you guys. Started out right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, new every morning. Father, great is your faithfulness. Just pray that you'll be pleased with all that's said and done here in this room today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Pass around some things here. It'd be great to be with you guys. Appreciate the friendships I've had and your teaching over the years. It's been a blessing. So a guy told God once, as he was praying, God, is it true that a million years with you is like a second? The Lord said, yes. Yes, a million years like a second. God, is it true that $1 million is like a penny to you? Yes, my son. God, can I have a penny? Yes, my son, just a second. We need to see things from God's perspective on this issue. Thanks for sharing this. Different clips. Tim, that was wonderful. Have anybody noticed the cultural chaos that's increasing in our society? The acceleration of debauchery in our culture. I don't think that these things can be separated from each other. The issue of abortion and this issue. So I wanted to talk about that today a little bit from the perspective of the Word of God and the impact that this issue is having on our culture overall. Abortion by the numbers. There's 800,000, more than 800,000 abortions a week. That's nearly a million a week globally. There's never been a time from Adam until February of 2020, where there's been a hidden, persecuted people group exterminated with this kind of genocide, as there has been in your and my generation. We're the abortion generation. You can say there's a lot of things that distinguish us as a generation. Information, certainly, you can find anything you'd ever want on a cell phone, good and bad, right? Transportation, a lot of things distinguish us from all the generations prior to us, but this one thing is distinctive, and that there's never been this kind of bloodshed globally. World. Pakistan, for instance, has 2 million abortions a year in just that country. It's amazing what's going on. Why is this? What is this? In the United States, about 900,000, 862,000 a year. This is legal still in all 50 states, although there's some states that just have one abortion clinic. 52% of all abortions in America happen in only 5 states, over half. Those are in order of dead children. California, New York, Florida is number 3. Texas, Chicago, New Jersey. In every one of those cities, Preborn, which is the ministry the Lord has us involved with, is the alternative to the abortion industry. We focus where the battle is, on the very front of it. We are the alternative, competing right now at this very moment with Planned Parenthood and the larger abortion chains in these big cities. On the internet, this is where 75% of girls find their abortion appointments is on their cell phones. So, younger generation, you know, screen addicted. So this is where we compete with Planned Parenthood on a moment-by-moment basis, spending millions of dollars trying to get girls to click on our ads come in and see an ultrasound. Because if they see an ultrasound, let me back up a second. So it's really worse than the 62% that was on the screen here. The point is that 48% of the time a woman doesn't want an abortion. She's being pressured by her mother, the grandmother of the child, to have the abortion. Think about that. Go ahead, kill your grandkid. Scary, right? Those grandkids.
You're 20 of them.
20. Wow. That's a full quiver.
And a couple of great sources.
Good for you, man. Good for you. another 42% of the time, the boyfriend, husband, or significant, whoever he is pushing that girl to abort. So over 80% of the time, she really didn't want it. A woman doesn't want an abortion any more than, by way of a strained analogy, an animal wants to chew its leg off because it's caught in a trap. Who's going to open the jaws of the trap? And that's what pregnancy clinics across the nation, 2,800 of them, exist to do, is to open that trap, to give a girl hope and help in the midst of this. Pro-life movement really has three components to it. One is legislation and education, National Right to Life Committee, pro-life elements of our administration and Congress and Supreme Court. They're trying to roll back the watershed decision, Roe versus Wade, and Doe versus Bolton, to open up a river of blood that now has swept away and is current over 60 million American citizens, more than the population of Canada, who lost the nation within a nation. So that's one component, is legislation, education. Can't stop that point without saying that the Trump-Pence administration has been the most pro-life administration, far above even Reagan, than we've ever had. And I'm really thankful for that. I believe that it's driven by Mike Pence, who's someone I've known for 25 years, and is he's as evangelical and pro-life as anyone in this room, for sure. I knew his accountability partner. He was my accountability partner when he was the governor of Indiana. So I've got the inside scoop a little bit on Mike, you know, his accountability partners. A good man. And I think a lot of the things like the Title X money that Planned Parenthood lost, you may have heard here a few months ago and last year. Mike Pence appointed the person in the government, health department, that distributes the Title X money, was a former wife of a board member of mine at a pregnancy clinic. He's intentional, ticking them off big time. I'm really glad. Wonderful thing. And so, yeah, I wouldn't credit Trump for all that, but I am crediting him for being willing to change as he has, because he's not always been particularly staunchly pro-life, right? So what a deal. Second component of the pro-life movement would be protests. That's the March for Life is a form of community conscious protest that's done. Sitting in front of an abortion clinic, like I said, and those are protests. Preborn doesn't do either of those, legislation, education, protests. We're the third component, and that is compassionately loving women into making good choices, giving them help. It's one thing to say to a woman, you shouldn't have an abortion. What are you going to do when she says back, so then are you going to pay for my doctor appointment? Are you going to be with me for the next month? I don't have any. What about that? To that we say, yeah, for free, everything you need. The compassion of Christ and the case of preborn, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 in 5 women in America had abortions. Probably more. 1 in 5. At least 1 in 5 men, probably. More than that. There's less men than women. Of the 206 nations in this country, in this world, 206 nations, only seven of them, have late-term abortion beyond the 20-week period, like China and North Korea and, of course, America. Down in Miami, you can get an abortion up to full term. Our pregnancy clinic down there is dealing with this. You know, we've lost 40-week babies regularly. The number one perpetrator of abortion in America is Planned Parenthood. They are an abortion conglomerate corporation. $1.6 billion organization last year was their gross top line revenue. $110 million bottom line net revenue. What a nonprofit. Oh my gosh. $110 million.
I want to interrupt.
Yeah, jump in anytime.
Did you just equate China, North Korea, and America
in the same boat of allowing late term after 20 weeks? Most of the other countries, it's abhorrent.
Yeah.
So, civilized country?
Yes.
It depends how you define it, right? Craziness.
That's a wake up.
It really is. 345,000, nearly half of all the abortions are committed by the corporation of Planned Parenthood in America. And preborn is a competition. We are their competition on a day-to-day basis in these big cities across the United States. Planned Parenthood has shut down over 60 pregnancy clinics in the last 3 years, abortion clinics in the last 3 years. And they've gained market share in so doing. Why is that? Because most of the population in the world, Gen X and millennials and Gen Zs, love to live in big cities. And they're gravitating globally to big cities. And so Planned Parenthood has closed rural clinics and smaller city clinics and done these giant clinics that are across the United States where they're gaining market share and following the population into this town.
Within 5 miles of every university and college in America.
Is that right? One of the largest, probably the largest university in Florida is the one there in Orlando.
Yeah, UCF.
It's like
80,000.
80,000.
Largest business school in America.
Is that right? I knew you knew that. We're putting a clinic one block from that college. Planned Parenthood is already there. So, yeah, that's where the fight is. And the college-age women are the ones that are most sexually active and most abortion active in America. But if a woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears that baby's heartbeat, it humanizes the problem. And more importantly than that, it kicks in that God-given motherly instinct, and she'll choose life 80% of the time, typically. If you'll find her, get her in front of that ultrasound she wanted her baby, then comes the part where we get to help her. So what's that got to do with the decay of our culture? The shooting in schools and Walmarts and synagogues and sporting events in Las Vegas. What the heck is going on? By the numbers, according to the Associated Press, the year 2019 saw the most mass murders, mass homicides of any year we've ever had. 211 killed. 41 incidences. That's like one every 12 and a half days.
Dan, in my research and looking at these films, I saw where the biggest cause of death of women in America is abortion. Around the world. Because China and some of these other countries don't want to have a girl. Biggest cause of death of women.
It's the biggest cause of death. Yeah, you're right. Globally, for all people, not just women. More than AIDS, cancer, heart disease, all of them put together pale at the number of babies that are aborted throughout the world. So Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a nation sows, this it shall also reap." So is it a surprise that we're seeing this craziness going on? If you really look at, if you define a mass murder, a mass shooting, as four or more people, instead of many more than that I just quoted, there's more than one every day. Look it up. Every single day of 2019, at least four people were shot in some mass homicide. This is crazy. And that's not the only thing with the cultural decay, right? We've got the LGBTQRSTUV movement. We've got homelessness. I work in LA. I have an office in Los Angeles. And there's a city inside that city. It's called homelessness. 60,000 homeless people. The resurrection of extant diseases that didn't exist before, carried by rats into the population. See, this thing's not going to work. Give this a little bit of time. The greatest destroyer in humankind historically has been two things, mosquitoes and rats, because they carry disease into the populations. They penetrate deeply. And that's what's happening. And so the words of Solomon in the Proverbs, all those who hate me, Lord, wisdom, love death. And we're seeing that over and over. So we see this in, you know, those who sow to the wind reap the whirlwind. To think that this isn't having consequences, you know, God's going to judge America because of abortion. Too late. He is judging America because of abortion. And it really comes to down to leadership. You know, if you look in, I think it's like 2 Chronicles 17, see Jehoshaphat was a great king. Not perfect, no one is except Jesus. But there were still high places for the people. But because he was a great king, there was peace all around. And the country flourished. It all falls and rises on leadership for an organization, for a nation. And we're seeing, did you guys, obviously, most of you probably saw the State of the Union address, worldviews at war, worldviews of conflict. We live in a diametric opposition of worldviews. The worldview that you saw tearing up an official document behind Donald Trump says that they're autonomous, self-defining, moral-setting consumers. Moral-setting consumers. Morality is relative. This is postmodernism. This is what we're dealing with. This is the worldviews that are causing the polarization. Your worldview and mine are quite different from that. We're interdependent. We're the body of Christ. We're created. We're not autonomous. We're accountable. We're all here before the judgment seat of Christ. You account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or evil. And we're stewards of what we have. We don't get to decide. But the other folks, they do. They feel they do. They won't. They'll stand before the Lord too, not at the judgment seat of Christ, but at the great white throne judgment, probably unless they receive Christ. So this is what we're dealing with. I love what Mike Pence said about that. Did you guys hear about Nancy Pelosi tearing up the speech? She said, I'm not sure whether she tore up the speech or the Constitution. That's right. What a great comment. The Democrats, to the man, and by the numbers, support abortion. But their constituency base, the Democrats that vote, don't buy it. The radical abortion to the very moment, birthday abortions where a baby's born and then they do infanticide and let the baby just set it aside with a wet washcloth over his mouth and let him die, suffocated. Only 6% of the Democrat voters believe that, even their own constituency. And yet, the Democratic candidates for president are lockstep into radical abortion up to the day of birth. Even Buttigieg, who's desperately trying to present himself as a moderate, this guy's not even close to a moderate, man. He's a submissive partner homosexual is what he is. From Indiana, I'm sad to say. When he was on View, read that you have to be pro-abortion to be appointed as a judge if he's the president of the United States. It's the litmus test. Sanders, who at one point was not particularly that radical in abortion, now has said, you have to be pro-choice to be a Democrat, thus alienating a large part of the Democratic Party who are not radical abortionists.
And just a thought, have we noticed how much more aggressive I'm going to repeat that. Do we notice how much more aggressive that evil is than that which is righteous? Evil is very aggressive. Very. I don't know how many more times aggressive. How many times will you see those who promote evil abortions get aggressive? And they'll go out and stage walks and riots. And Christians will hardly open their mouth.
Nazi Germany.
So it's my point is that we Christians need to be challenged. Number one, are you sharing your faith in Jesus Christ with others? Number one. If we're not doing that, we're certainly not going to do much about pro-life. And I'd just like to bring that point that we need to challenge one another. Get aggressive. Jesus was aggressive. He was the role model. That's the point.
I appreciate that, Carl. A nice segue, which is more than a two-wheeled vehicle, into my point here, the visualization that we're seeing. I mean, just recently, the guy that drove his car into a Republican rally, the woman holding Trump's beheaded head on media last year. Conservatives don't do that because we have a moral compass in our hearts to do that, but they do. But the polarization of this worldview, the vitriol that we're seeing, is more than I think it's ever been in our country, and it's come to violence. Well, what are we going to do about that?
Jensen? There's less light than there's run on this dark side, so consequently, darkness is taking over. So when you're operating in darkness, it doesn't get any more light. It doesn't overflow.
That's really true, isn't it?
So consequently, light will bring light on it and will drive it down, but people will not reflect it.
Second Chronicles, if you got your Bible with you, 15:5-6. Second Chronicles 15:5-6. This provides us a biblical explanation and remedy for the current cultural malaise that we're finding ourselves in, abortion and all the other issues. Second Chronicles 15:5 says, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went in, out, and no peace to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed," in verse 6, "nation destroyed of nation, city of city." And listen to this next five words. "For God did vex them with all adversity." For God did vex them with all adversity. Back in the 60s, Francis Schaeffer, from a place called Debris, wrote about something called the slippery slope. And he postulated that if you dehumanize the least and most helpless among you, everybody else gets endangered in the process. And we're seeing this today. This devaluing of human life in these mass slayings, in birthday babies, that there is a tremendous devaluing of people. It's like there was a dog that was chained up, a mad dog that was chained up, and now it's been leashed off. The leash has been released. God has let it run wild. That's what we're seeing in our culture today. Many of you know that if God's your problem, God did vex them with many adversities. Only God can be your solution. That's where we're at today. It has to be that. To your point about Nazi Germany, it's very interesting to me that the sarin gas that was used in Germany to exterminate Jews was manufactured by a company called Rüstalukämpf. And that same company manufactures RU-486, which is the abortion. RU standing for Rüstalukämpf. Coincidental? I don't think so. There's only one person running behind this, and that person's spirit of death, Satan. Sure. Behind all of it, behind all of this bloodshed, abortion is the sacrifice for the kingdom of darkness. It is the delight of the Church of Satan.
Yeah, well, they see some hope in, even in the, you know, I kind of went through some of the stuff in Nazi Germany, but then they got defeated. And look at them now. You know, they have changed, things have changed in a way. Sometimes I see hope for them, because in those days I thought, you know, in those days, my parents thought, well, that it's so awful what they did, you know, that would, that nation that should never be back to normal again. And I think that if you then look at history, because now we're past it and you look back, they have come back a bit. not as we want them to, but I mean, it is, yeah. it is horrible. It's
The Word of God addresses this. It says, as you look at the scriptures there, 15, it says, in those days there was no true God, no teaching priest, and they were without the law. Well, the God of America is secular humanism itself. We need to return to the one true God that made America great. No teaching priests. We deal with the church these days that is using and adopting the methodology of the culture to attract people. I'm wondering why we're getting a church full of lukewarm people that are attracted by it. The Word of God. So the issues: abortion, cohabitation, LGBTQ, porn, racism, none of that's being addressed in the church, or should be. So this makes a big difference in what we're seeing. And the Word of God versus entertainment, the preaching of the gospel, to your point, Carl, that we are encouraged and equipped in the Church of Jesus Christ to be evangelists, to follow the Great Commission in our personal lives. It's not modeled, and it's not really a major subject in most churches today. The gospel is the answer to abortion. The gospel is the answer to the LGBTQ problem in America. It's the answer to porn. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can change men's heart. Personal holiness. It's not emphasized about the law, it says. Are we using spiritual disciplines in our lives these days? Let's look up a couple of these scriptures. Who would take 2 Corinthians 6, 7? And if someone could take 1 John 2, 16.
2 Corinthians 6, 7.
6, verse 7.
And 1 7. John. I'm sorry.
2 Corinthians 6, 7.
Verse 7 of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians says, in the word of truth and the power of God by the weapons of righteousness. I'm sorry. Yeah. In the right hand and the left.
That's not what I was looking for. I was actually looking for. Come out from among them. It must be 1 Corinthians. Come up from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the equal thing, that I'll be a God to you and you'll be a people to me. So God really wants us to be holy people, a unique people. And these are the answers in our own personal lives and to the issues that we're dealing with here as well.
Dan, may I enter a thought at that very juncture? One of the small foxes that spoil the vine. The scriptures talk about the small foxes that spoil the vine. What we see preached in the Christian families worldwide is that we're all sinners, and this is a very false teaching, and it's little, and you hardly see it. All are sinners. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. How many of us heard that preached? Over and over and over again, it's preached that none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. Now, I'm going to elaborate just a moment on that. Scripture says that all have sinned, past tense, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a fact. That's Scripture. That's Bible, Chris says. Nowhere in the Bible, if it's there, show it to me, anyone. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, and you must continue to sin. It's not there. But it's preached in our pulpits. I heard a sermon last year. We're all sinners. That's a fact. We all have sin. All have sin. And it's preached that I sin every day. And we're going to sin every day. And that's false. Scripture doesn't teach that. Now let's go back to what the scripture does teach, and boy, we want to run like chickens. Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as the Father is in heaven is perfect. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. Well, does he tell us to do something that we cannot do? So now Paul elaborated on that just a bit, and he says, I press toward the mark of high calling. Now, quick, we'll get criticized. Oh, you're perfect, and see the finger will point. And so we want to flee quickly. Ooh. No, I guess I'm not perfect. But the point is, press toward the mark of the high calling. Press toward it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So at that moment in our life, we're perfect. At that moment. So if we can be free of sin at that moment, let's go for 2 moments. Let's press toward that mark. This is the point. So if we can see, if we can gain the vision in our heart, in our mind, Father, your son Jesus told me that it'd be perfect as you are. So I want to attempt that. I want to attempt it. I want to try. I want to grow. I want to mature like a baby. I want to mature to the point where I'm achieving more and more and more. And I think this is the thing that we need to take the challenge thereof and pursue it, instead of running like a scared rabbit and say, oh, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not. Well, we're all, I've heard it preached in the pulpit. I've heard it preached that none of us are perfect. But that's past tense. It's not in the scripture that we shall all be bound to sin. We've got to sin. We have to. So in that lie, Satan says, it's okay. It's okay to, well, it's a passion of time. Go ahead and have that sex so that I can kill another one. I'm opening a keg of nails here, but worms here. But this is the fact that we need to think about. That's Bible. Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect. What does it mean? What does it mean? Can we do it? Of course we can. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But I will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We have all the scriptures to back up the scripture. Jesus said, be perfect. We have scripture after scripture leading us to walk with him, abide by his word. God says his word shall not return void, shall prosper where he sends it, and accomplish that which he pleases. It can be done. If it couldn't, Jesus wouldn't have said it. It ties together. It comes together.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make here, Carl. You really did a good job of driving that home, and personal holiness in our lives. We are the church. We should
Amen.
Be the church.
Amen. Yeah. It's not brick and mortar.
Yeah. Anyone have 1 John 2:16?
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world.
There it's defined closely for us. This is what wars against our souls, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and things that weaken. We're free from. We can walk in freedom from these things in our lives and cultivate these things in our lives. We have spiritual disciplines. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are the Greek tenses here are continually praying, continually.
I like 19 too. And do not quench a spirit. And 20, do not despise prophetic utterances.
Which half the church says is dead, right?
Great.
No, it's true. The Spirit of God isn't trapped between the covers of your Bible, nor will he ever contradict it, right? I got to just share this with you. About 30 years ago, I would get up every morning for 2 hours and pray, and one of those mornings I had a vision. And in that vision, I was awake, but I was praying. I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw the the Lord calling me to the field of the fatherless. I was working for a trucking company. I was running Mayflower Transit Company for the entire nation's their house of goods division at the time. It wasn't in ministry at all. And I saw this vision in prayer of me in the fight for the lives of the preborn. That was 30 years ago.
Amen.
And today, I'm running an organization which is the competition for Planned Parenthood. Last year, we've seen over 90,000 women last year walk through our clinics. For 25,000 women choose life over abortion. And it all birthed out of the Spirit, as did everything that exists in all heaven and earth. God's Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Everything that exists comes from God, from the world of the Spirit. So learning to be a man in these things, learning to walk with the Spirit of God, learning to hear. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll never contradict this, but it isn't exclusively that either. God's not dead, man.
True.
He's alive, and He can speak to our hearts.
True.
And He said in that point, He said, "To those who please Me, I'll likewise give the desires of their heart." And there's a point there. Many people say, "Well, He's never spoken to me, and how does He speak?" And He just answered. He said, "If you please Me, I'll give you the desires of your heart." You had a vision. Where did it come from? See, you were apparently pleasing the Lord, and He, the Lord, gave you the desires of your heart.
That's right.
And there are, therefore, you are where you are at today. Yeah. He spoke to you.
It's all from Him. You're exactly right, Carl. And so these are the answers. Witnessing, Matthew 28, you know, go ye into all nations, preaching, making disciples of all men, with you always, even unto the end of the age. This isn't the last option. This is a great commission. It's not the great suggestion in our lives. God wants us to do these things, live these things in our lives.
That great commission was not a suggestion, it was a command, wasn't it?
And what you said, Carl, is really true here. This was the answer that the Lord gave them. And we see it here. Verse 12 and 13 of 2 Chronicles 15. Yet God vexed them with all anxiety, with all adversity. God vexed them.
And my version said trouble, vexing trouble.
God troubled. Yeah.
And yours says vexed, troubling.
Yeah.
It troubled you.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, I think we're seeing it in everything, in every TV show, in every movie that we see. And does it grieve our hearts? Does it vex our hearts to watch this stuff? I hope it does.
Jesus said, "Be perfect." Be perfect. Well, shape it up, boys.
That's good. Look at verse 13. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their souls. In fact, whosoever would not, they put them to death. This is serious stuff. They took it seriously to be lovers of God in their lives. Revival is the answer to all the things that we need, and the gospel is the horse that it rides in on. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So, when we talk to a girl and they walk into our center, in some of our centers, half of them come to Christ. The reason I'm doing this is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come to us, which is wonderful. We market for them. And then they come to us instead of the abortions, and we share Jesus Christ with them, and then share the humanity of their baby with them. And we share Jesus because they need a worldview change so that they aren't in an unplanned pregnancy in the next 3 months and a repeat customer. Take two scenarios. Scenario one, number one, a woman comes in, and she does not choose life, and she aborts her baby. And that next second, where's that baby at?
In the arms of the Lord.
In the arms of the Lord. I think you can make somewhat of a scriptural point for that. Woman number
all the children in me, Jesus said.
Yeah, and David, I'll not go to him, but I can't go to him. He can't come to me, but I'll go to him. He's in heaven. Woman number two comes in, and she chooses life, and she births the baby, and doesn't abort, and the baby grows up and becomes an adult, and never comes to Christ, and dies, Where's that person who's once a baby? And hell lost forever. The gospel is inextricable with this issue. It has to be centristic to the pro-life movement. And that's really the essence of Ministry Preborn that we're running. To close, I thought I'd just share this with you guys. I don't know if you guys what you use for your personal devotions, but this is it's actually an old Puritan prayer that I thought would be good. It's good for meditation. It's good for praying. God, the source and author of all existence and blessedness. I love this line, third sentence down. For leading me, giving me the reason and conscience for leading me to desire thee. What a grace and what a blessing it is that you and I stand separate from the billions of people on this planet that do not have that desire. God's given you the desire to be in this Bible study and to love him, to desire him, to seek him with all of your heart. I love this sentence about halfway down in this prayer. It says, may I always be among those who not only hear of you, but know you. Who walk with you, rejoicing with you, who take you at your word and find life there. There's no life apart from Christ. And in Christ is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. I just thought I'd share this with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to listen to these Bible studies. Thanks for recording them. And while I'm up in Indiana or wherever I'm at, I feel like I'm part of what you're doing here a little bit. And every now and then stop by and enjoy, and you can share. So, what a joy.